Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from UVB Online on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest, most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ruf@uvbmedia.de. And now enjoy the new episode.
Mathieu van der Poel has won the 9th stage of the Tour de France. Tadej Pogacar continues to wear yellow. Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe had a plan. It did not work out. Let us dive into a wild day at this tour, as always, with the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. Hello to Ralf Denk.
Hello and greetings to Rosenheim.
Yes, Ralf, before we get into the analysis, also regarding your team, I mentioned it in the intro. I mean, I thought it was absolutely wild today and really expected something different. How did you feel about it?
Yes, how could it? We already talked about the stage yesterday and I thought, okay, it will be a classic breakaway day, but it turned out differently in the end. And even though Mathieu van der Poel ultimately won from a small breakaway group, a classic breakaway where there are basically two races in one, where they fight for the stage win and the general classification is fought for maybe 10, 15 minutes later. That is what I expected. That is what we all expected from the team, but it turned out quite differently. We were prepared, okay, breakaway Gruppe, and we go all in. Maxim van Gils would have been our man. He tried it a few times with support from Nico Denz, from Mattia Cattaneo, from Jan Tratnik. So we were active at the beginning, and we also shot our bolt relatively early, you have to say. But the group didn't stick, maybe 30 seconds, 20 seconds at most, and they were caught again and again. Until a group finally formed, by which point our resources were basically spent. And then, Remco and Florian were also isolated. That was less than ideal. It didn't have any impact on us in the end, but that really shouldn't have happened all in all. Not a great day for us, but there was no damage on our side either.
Well, I can take you all along. My inbox was overflowing because people were already confused. There are, of course, also fans of Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe, among the many listeners we have. And they were, well, a bit sour. The general sentiment was, how can this be? So many of the other general classification teams have riders up at the front. Here, the captains are isolated, which is anything but ideal. Florian had to go get bottles too. The other should actually be doing that job. Jai Hindley, for example, is one case in point. So you're saying it was assessed differently. They wanted to take a risk. The plan didn't work out and it just developed that way from the race situation? Or does that need to be explicitly analyzed again?
Yes, we definitely need to talk about that within the team. We have plenty of time for that tomorrow on the rest day because you cannot prioritize a stage win, which is important for us and which we set as a goal over the general classification. And it went well. And yes, of course, Florian did go to the car once to get bottles, also for Remco, but that was not a major effort for him, but it did look silly. And I also understand the fans who criticize us for that. We imagined it differently too, but that is just racing. But one thing I think is certain, Jai Hindley certainly did not have his best day of his career today. Not even on his favorite terrain with the climbs at the beginning, third category. So the mountains were not that long. He is more the man for the high mountains. But be that as it may, it looked silly, but we were lucky in our misfortune. And as I said, we are still sitting in fourth and seventh place going into the first rest day like this. And we have to focus now for the next tasks in week two.
How much did external factors influence the race? What do I mean by that? And the shortening of the stage. Sorry, by the way, to all our listeners, when Ralf and I spoke yesterday, that wasn't set in stone yet. So the stage was shortened by about 30 kilometers. And the heat are external factors that, in my opinion, really influenced the race, especially today's race. How do you see it?
Yes, the heat certainly didn't make the race any easier, but the heat was the same for everyone else. So I don't want to use that as an excuse. And yes, of course, the stage was 30 kilometers shorter. That should help to some extent because the riding time, the stage time is simply reduced by 45 minutes. But when it comes to the finale and when the heart rate is up and the riders are at their limit, then it almost doesn't matter if you rode for another 45 minutes before or not. But the stage shortening didn't come from the organizers, but rather the department or the regional administration decided for themselves that the stage would be shortened because of the heat. And if it had probably been up to the organizers, we would have ridden the original route.
Exactly. But in this department, it is the law that above a certain temperature, it is no longer allowed to take place. And you had already mentioned it during the past few days. You are bound by the law there too. So briefly, credit where credit is due. So Mathieu van der Poel, I found him rather inconspicuous in this tour so far. And I had already asked myself, is he perhaps not playing such a big role? But then he is there again, the guy today. And everyone has him on their list. That has to be top class.
Yes, and that is why they are these exceptional riders or these champions. Yes, you don't see them for a long time, and then they smell the finish line that they can win, and then they can produce the performance to actually win. So that is Champions League. That is not everyone can do that. And Mathieu van der Poel, he has, I believe, become cross world champion many times already, road world champion, won almost all the big classics. Yes, champion. And they can do that. And that is exactly what sets a champion apart from a normal rider. A normal rider will finish second, third or fourth on days like that, even if they feel good. But the champion wins. And that is a champion.
Congratulations.
Absolutely, from my side as well. So let us address three listener questions today. We have received even more. My colleague Corbinian and I will try to include them all in the show over the next 2 weeks. I cannot promise that though. Right, let's start with the first question from Andreas Jochum. It's about the Lidl Trek team. They have been racing under a German license since this season. The headquarters are also in Germany. The team has significantly upgraded its personnel. From your perspective, is this now a normal competitor, or is this also about national supremacy, which you have to defend?
Yes, of course, it is a bit about the German principle, I would say, who is the master of the house. But first of all, I think it is really cool that the Schwarz Group with their brand Lidl has entered cycling, and they are one of the largest companies in Germany. And when they do something, they do it right. They have done that. So didn't just become some kind of sponsor. They also acquired, to my knowledge, 75% of the team and also moved the headquarters from Belgium to Neckarsulm. They are taking cycling seriously, and it is certainly welcome when external sponsors, not from the inner circle of the bicycle industry, invest in our sport. So from that perspective, I think it is really great that we naturally have the ambition in Germany to also be the best German team. Yes, that is quite natural, but I also see it as healthy competition that stimulates business. You know, and when I look at football, there are many cities. I think of Milan, I think of London, I think of Madrid, where there are very big football clubs, but not just one, but two or three. And that is how it is here in German cycling too. And so I find it all in all super positive, and I am looking forward to fair competition.
Right, let's move on to Felix Wickenhäuser, who describes himself as a professional traveler and accordingly has the topic of hotels on his list. You are assigned these hotels. We already explained that in more detail here in the background. He now has specific questions regarding the topic of sleep. How do you ensure that the athletes sleep as well as possible? Since that is an essential part of recovery, do you check the rooms? Do you bring your own mattresses? When it is this hot, is it also about having your own cooling units? How can one imagine that?
Yes, indeed. Sleep is very, very, very important for recovery, and we leave nothing to chance. Yes, it is true. We are assigned the hotels and we have to use those hotels. So we cannot just say we do not like this one and take one in the next town.
That does not comply with the regulations. Why is that?
It is also partly from the past that the anti-doping inspectors want to know where the teams are staying so that they have short distances if they want to conduct unannounced doping tests. We prepare the whole thing very intensively. That means 2 or 3 months before the Tour de France. Our people are already on site inspecting the hotels, all the hotels at the Tour de France, but not just at the Tour de France, also at the Giro d'Italia or the Vuelta a España. That means we know exactly what to expect when we get there.
Is there a large parking lot? What are the rooms like? How is the air conditioning? What are the beds like? And then we. Then the next step follows. What do we add?
Usually at the Tour de France, we swap the mattresses. That means we have our own, or the riders have our own mattresses with them from our partner Seven Sundays. And the hotel mattress comes out and the Seven Sundays mattress goes in.
We have brand new models that work with cooling. That means the mattress is cooled, pleasantly cooled, much better than air conditioning for natural sleep with good quality.
Then we look at the air conditioning. Usually they are in the hotels. We don't stay in luxury hotels. We don't get those from the organizer, and they aren't often found in the regions where the bike races or stages end, but rather they are mostly 3 or 4 star hotels. The air conditioning, the filters usually haven't been changed in 3 or 4 years. We don't use them. We have our own with us.
These are then installed. It is done very provisionally with an exhaust hose through the window. We improvise there. You need a lot of duct tape, but we seal it off so that the rooms are well cooled, and with our air conditioning units, which also purify the air.
And then every race car driver, there are special cases or bags for this, also brings their own pillows and their duvet. So all in all, they always sleep in the same environment on their mattress, which is cooled, and with their bedding, with their air conditioning, but still in a different room every day.
These measures, which are massively complex and consume a massive amount of manpower, show just how important healthy, sustainable, and regenerative sleep is for our athletes so that they can perform at their best again the next day.
Who are also business travelers in a way. So question number 3, Richard Stüssel, on the topic of nutrition during these extreme temperatures. He wants to know exactly about filling the water bottles and the ice packs. Is that enough for an entire stage in the morning with everything packed into the vehicles, or is there a reload during the stage?
No, well, starting with the preparation of bottles of the race nutrition, it's actually done in the afternoon by the people who are preparing the rooms when the air conditioning units are installed and everything. It's often 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Then these people start preparing the race nutrition for the next day. And of course, that is also kept chilled. We have our own refrigerated truck with us, which is then loaded into the vehicles before the start. The bottles are, of course, all chilled. You need insane amounts of ice. We also have our own ice machine with us so that everything is very cold. The challenge is then the drinkable ice, and there is something new this year too. So, yes, how do you say?
We call them slushy bottles. They are sort of half-frozen ice bottles that real aluminum turned liquid from the sun's heat, but still remain very cold.
So the topic of cooling, the catering, even the gels are available in ice form. We invest a lot, and there is a lot of manpower involved so that everything is in the right place during the race.
Yes, do they have standard coolers with them? He wants to know that too, and so on.
No, we already have some that run on mains power, 220 volts, but they work just as well with the electrical circuit installed in the vehicles.
And we also have classic coolers that we just fill with crushed ice. So we have both, but there are certainly 10, 15 coolers of ours standing around. They have to be cleaned again every single day. So there is a lot of work behind the scenes with the cold chain, but also the sheer number of bottles. On stages like today, we certainly use 250 bottles. They then have to be refilled for the next day, not the same ones, because they are given to the spectators as souvenirs. So we only use the bottles once, meaning we need 250 new bottles every day.
Always exciting to hear what you report from the heart of the Tour de France. Thank you very much for that. So tomorrow, Monday, rest day. First, there is probably the transfer. Otherwise, for the riders, it is likely more of a rest day. But for the staff, as we are already hearing, quite the opposite.
Yes, the riders' top priority is to really sleep in tomorrow. They might go for a short ride, an hour or an hour and a half, stop somewhere for coffee, maybe even have a piece of cake, and in the afternoon enjoy a longer massage, then perhaps have some family visit them in the hotel lobby. Yes, then the day is almost over for the races anyway. For the staff, the day tomorrow actually starts relatively normal. Tomorrow, everything will be prepared again for the next day. The bikes will be checked over. The cars will be cleaned inside and out. Everything will be spruced up, including all the laundry. And it is not just the riders' laundry, but the staff on site also need new t-shirts, new trousers, and new socks. That all gets washed through as well. So rest days for the staff are at least as exhausting as the race days. They are not just lying around drinking coffee or eating ice cream by the hotel pool. No, it is really hard work for them too. And in the evening, it's a bit of a tradition to have a team barbecue. We set up a long table next to our vehicles in the hotel parking lot, and then we let the day wind down with the barbecue.
Exactly, so that you are well fed for Tuesday too, because...
But the barbecue is only for the staff. The racers usually get theirs here.
Okay, good. So, exactly. Let's look at Tuesday. It starts at 13:10. Expected arrival 17:12. From Aurillac, we head to Le Lioran. 166 kilometers will be ridden, with 3,800 meters of climbing. After 65 kilometers, things really get started. Four category three climbs, one category two, and two category one climbs. The stage ends with a short but punchy final climb. So that sounds well, our predictions. Yes, paper rat at a Tour de France is often not worth what it costs to buy, but on paper it sounds like a stage for the general classification riders. How do you see it?
Yes, I think so too, because especially because it gets harder towards the end. Today, it has become a bit easier towards the end anyway, and we are heading into the Massive Central. Anyone who has been there knows those are real mountains, 6, 7, 8 kilometers long. And I suspect there will be an elimination race at the front for the general classification. And yes, we will support Florian and Remco as best we can if they feel good, which they did today. They might try something, but we are taking the stage very, very seriously and trying to keep up. And maybe it is almost halfway through the Tour de France, try something at some point.
All right, let's take a look at that on Tuesday. Let's listen to that on Tuesday as well. We are also taking a real rest day here at Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, unlike the staff at Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. So, Ralph, we will both talk again the day after tomorrow on Tuesday after the stage. I say thank you for today and wish you and the team a good rest day, and we will talk again on Tuesday.
My pleasure and best regards. Have a nice Sunday.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and Ippen Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.